And welcome in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Steve Gill, Michael Patrick Leahy here with you and joined by a very special guest this morning. Kevin Sorbo is a actor, an activist, a father, a husband, and is one of those who's helped lead the resurgence of the quality of Christian films in this country that you're seeing do better at the box office and is everything in Hollywood. If somebody does a movie about a particular topic and it does well, then you're going to get 20 movies on that same topic. You're starting to see more of the Christian movies. You're also seeing more of the, quote, I guess I'd almost say quasi-Christian movies. Is Hollywood not willing to go all in with a true Christian message, but wanting to get some of those Christian dollars at the box office? And Kevin Sorbo with a whole host of these great movies. They knocked him off in that first in the series about the atheist professor challenging the student. But Let There Be Light, his new Christmas movie, a lot coming out. And Kevin, good to have you with us this morning.
You forgot to mention director and producer, but that's okay.
Well, and family, man. I mean, you're starting to put the kids. You're making this a whole family business. Your wife, Sam. The kids are in the movies now, like Let There Be Light. Now you're writing books. I mean, you're doing it all. You're multimedia.
Well, I like to stay busy for sure. And the movie you were mentioning before, that was God's Not Dead, that did quite well. And in the history of Hollywood movies, that movie had a 70 times return on its investment and puts it in the top five in every movie made in the history of Hollywood. And yet we couldn't get on like the Today Show or Good Morning America with it because it had God in the title.
Have you noticed that after they killed you off, the second and third didn't do quite as well?
Well, you tell them that. They haven't used me in 6 years, so I must have done something wrong. I don't know.
Let There Be Light was an interesting one as well. Again, you were featured as this top-level atheist who was struggling with his own challenges. And again, your wife, Sam, and your sons were in the film as well. What was it like working with family?
You know, that's actually how I met my wife years ago. She came down to New Zealand, and when I was filming my, 7 years down to filming Hercules, and every 2 weeks they sent a beautiful girl for me to work with. So it was a great dating service. that's actually how I met my wife. And, she's great. I mean, I don't know why she picked acting, because she was a biochemical engineering major at Duke University and speaks five languages fluently. I was telling her, you're way too smart to be an actor. I don't know why you're in this business.
Kevin, this is Michael Patrick Leahy. You are there in the fires. Tell us about what's going on with your house. Are you safe?
You know, for now we are. It's pretty nasty, I got to say. I left Tuesday. I had to go speak at an event in Indianapolis, and the fires hit that night, and my wife got a hold of me at midnight and said, we have to evacuate. And I couldn't sleep the rest of the night because I hated the fact that I had to stick around for the speaking event. She goes, look, there's nothing you can do. We have to get out of here. And on TV at 3 o'clock in the morning, they showed an aerial view of my area, and I saw three houses burning in my neighborhood because they laid out the streets, and it was pitch black, but I knew what houses they were. So when I was able to get back here, the next-door neighbor's house was gone. Up above him, that house was gone. Across the street, gone. The fires came up on three sides of my house, and on one side stopped just 3 feet away. And I don't know why the fire stopped. It burned some outside furniture in my house, but the house was untouched. It's a miracle that the thing didn't burn down. It's unbelievable.
So your house is in Thousand Oaks. Where are you physically right now? Are you back in your house? Are you in a rental?
I'm back in the house. The evacuation was lifted yesterday, but I've been staying here the last three nights. I like my neighbor across the street, whose house is still standing, he said he never left, and he saw the fires come flying through with the 50, 60-mile-an-hour winds. He says it was just like somebody had dropped a massive bomb. He says it was unbelievable, but he didn't want to leave. He spent, hours hosing down his house. I'm just going to be here, and I put out some small little smoky fires around the house and the burnt areas just to make sure that the winds didn't pick up anything and blow them into other places. So, I guess I broke the law like a lot of people did when I didn't evacuate.
Has the danger passed now, or could it possibly come back?
You know, it's been bad for the last 2 days again. We're back to 50-mile-an-hour winds, and it's pretty nasty. Malibu is hitting the brunt of it right now. And unfortunately, the winds have shifted again. They were all day yesterday. They were heading out towards the ocean, which is great because that's the path of the fire was going out that way. So now they've shifted to from a north to south wind. So I know now heading down to Anaheim and Palos Verdes and stuff like that, they're certainly get the smoke, but hopefully the fire is not going to follow. But it is very windy out right now.
And that's what, you know, continues to spur the flames, the sparks, carries them, and then you've got another fire to deal with. Kevin Sorbo with us this morning. We're going to talk more about the whole Christian film industry and how, again, you know, there were some great Christian films early. Facing the Giants, still one of my all-time favorites, but there are more and better ones. And Kevin Sorbo, a big person responsible for that increased quality and quantity of Christian films. He's got a new one out, a Christmas movie, and working on another one that's getting some pushback from the left, Reliant, because they've given it an R rating for no good reason. We'll talk about that with Kevin Sorbo when we come back with more of the Tennessee Star Report in just a moment. And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Steve Gill, Michael Patrick Leahy here with you, and Kevin Sorbo on the line with us on our Newsmakers line with a new Christmas movie coming out. By the way, Let There Be Light now being turned into a book that he and his wife Sam have done. And despite the help of our friend Sean Hannity, that thing has been amazingly successful, both the movie and the book coming out as well, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, it did great. It was in theaters last November, December, January. Please go check it out. You can get it on Amazon streaming or go to Walmart right now because we have packaged it with a book. So Let There Be Light. Go! It's a wonderful, wonderful movie, wonderful family movie. So I hope people go out and get that as a stocking stuffer for this Christmas.
Yeah, and you've done God's Not Dead, you've done Hercules, you've done all sorts of characters, and now you got a Christmas movie. And I think this is your first just purely Christmas movie, Christmas Dreams.
Yeah, well, I mean, I still think Let There Be Light is kind of a pretty much Christmas movie. I have another one called The Santa Suit, which I think people would enjoy. But this one is my first one that I narrated that's half animation and half live action. And it's a wonderful retelling of the Little Drummer Boy Nutcracker Suite. And it's a perfect gift for kids under 12 years of age. I know families are always looking for something that the whole family can watch together. I used to get stopped through airports and malls and restaurants all the time for Hercules or Andromeda, my two TV series. But people now, most of the people by far say, hey, please make more movies like your God's Not Dead, Soul Surfer, What If, Let There Be Light, and, you know, movies that I've been lucky to be part of. And I've been doing a lot more of those lately, so this is a wonderful movie. The message really in there is, if you have much, give of your wealth. If you have little, give of your heart. And that's really kind of the message in there. And they can get it at Amazon, or they can go to Walmart and check out the website. It's ChristmasDreamsTheMovie.com, ChristmasDreamsTheMovie.com.
We're seeing not only an increase in the quantity of Christian-oriented movies, and again, you're a big part of so many of those, but it appears to me, Kevin, that the quality has improved dramatically. I mean, for a long time, we would go to see Christian movies to support that part of the industry, but the quality seems like it's improved dramatically, and again, you're in most of them.
Well, you look at the last 10 years, and I think if you look at, you know, anything like in technology, how the definition, high def of cameras and stuff like that, the prices have come down. So the independent film world has access to all the same equipment that Hollywood has access to for their big budget $300 million movies. So, and you've got a lot of crews that are amazing, wonderful crews and people on both sides of the camera. And people want to work, and people want to be part of something that's sending a positive message. So, yeah, even though these are lower budget movies, they don't look that way. I mean, I just finished one called Miracle in East Texas, another one I just directed based on a true story set in 1930. It'll be out in theaters next summer. My director's cut is done. I directed that one as well as had the lead acting in, along with John Ratzenberger and Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah.
And I think people will love this movie. It's a true story set in 1930 about the oil Texas boom.
Being a vocal, visible Christian in the film industry, you've had some pushback. I mean, it is not something that's welcomed in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, here's an industry that screams for tolerance, they scream for freedom of speech, and everything's a one-way street with them. And the anger and hatred and divisiveness that has been created and still being created is incredible to me. I didn't see, you know, when the conservatives lost the House, I didn't see anybody running around on the conservative side and destroying personal and public property and just going crazy and screaming at the stars because their candidate's lost. I think the little crybabies that are left could learn something from that. And there's so much, you know, these Antifa guys. I mean, give me a break. If they want to see what fascists, all they got to do is look in the mirror. That's where they are. I mean, and obviously they're being paid by George Soros and other high wealthy people that want to promote all the discontent and the ripping apart of what America stood for and what made America great.
Little crybabies of the left. I love that phrase. By the way, you're from Minnesota, right? You're from Mound, Minnesota, same city as the Andrews sisters came from.
Exactly. They have a plaque put up on one of the great parks there, but I got a park named after me. So
there you go. Hey,
it's about 25 miles west of Minneapolis in the beautiful shores of Lake Minnetonka, and my little town was home to Tonka Toys for decades.
Did you play sports in high school?
I was a football, basketball, baseball guy, yeah.
Now, did you go to, you went to Morehead State, which is the far western part of the state, right across the river, Red River from Fargo, North Dakota. Did you go there to play sports or on acting? What was the deal there?
I just wanted to get further away from home. Now when I look at it, I go, what an idiot I was. I mean, I played basketball up there, yeah, but what an idiot I was to go straight north when it's already a cold state, when I should have gone down to play basketball down in Florida or someplace.
So you're, what are you, 6'2", 6'3"?
I'm 6'3", yeah.
6'3", okay. And so you played basketball.
Yeah, I can't jump, but I got a hell of a three-point shoot.
Well, you know, Steve Gill played basketball for University of Tennessee. He was the sixth man or seventh man or eighth man. What was it?
Yeah, I was a 6'4 point guard. That's the difference in Division I and some of the other levels. But I played during the Ernie Grunfeld-Bernard King era, so I played seated most of the time.
we had good teams, football and basketball. And our coach in college was Dave Shellhouse, and Dave was a three-time All-American at Purdue, and actually in the mid-60s, he had two straight years where he led the nation in scoring with a 35-point average.
Wow. So, wow. Before the three-point line.
Before the three-pointers. Well, look what, there's a lot of guys that could have had a bigger scoring average if that thing was wrong. Personally, one of my favorites, Pete Maravich, who averaged 44 points.
Oh, yeah, Pistol Pete. So
I did floppy socks for a while just because I wanted to be
too.
Like Pete.
I had the same hairstyle, man. I had to copy the guy.
So now that we're talking about Minnesota, got to ask you this question. It's a political question, a little bit of a curveball.
All right.
Okay. So it turns out that in western Minnesota, the 7th Congressional District has been represented. It's gone heavily for Donald Trump in 2016, like about 20 points. It's been represented for about 20 years by a Democrat, Colin Peterson. And this election cycle, a nice Republican guy ran against him, but he wasn't the strongest candidate, lost by 5 points. Are you ready? Do you feel the calling? Would you ever consider running for political office back in your home state of Minnesota in the 7th Congressional District in 2020?
It would be a horrible job for anybody. I think we've made politics so bad and so horrendous to be part of now, and it's become like I don't know if it's a popularity contest now or this wacky woman who got elected, Cortez, is that her name?
Yeah.
Occasionally coherent. Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah, I mean, sit there and promise, oh, we're going to get free this, free that. Nothing is free. People have to understand what's going on here. I met a group of fans in New York City that walked up to me just before the last presidential election. They all had Bernie Sanders T-shirts on. And I talked to them about what socialism is, and I still don't think they got it. So I finally asked one of them, I said, how much money you got in your pocket? And he finally goes, well, I got $40. I said, give me half of it. And he looks at me and goes, well, no. And I said, see, that's why socialism doesn't work. You won't give me your money, but you want mine.
Yeah. And you don't see people swimming from Cuba or from Miami to Cuba. You don't see people immigrating to Venezuela.
I don't see the wave of people trying to get into Mexico either. And this group that's coming up right now, here's the thing. For all these people who want open borders, stop being hypocrites. Don't put any doors and windows on your home. Do not stop locking your car door when you go to the mall or to the movie theater, okay? And here's another question for these open borders lovers. Why do we still have to have security at airports? Why can't we just walk in and go straight to the gate and get on the plane?
So it sounds like politics as a candidate may not be in your future.
It's ridiculous what's going on in this country.
You could get elected in Tennessee though with those ideas, Kevin. Not sure about Minnesota; it may be out of reach at
this point. Yeah, but Tennessee would love to have you here.
California, it's gone, it's lost.
When you look at the attacks on Christians in this country, I mean, we hear so much, as you mentioned, about tolerance and diversity, and yet there is complete intolerance for Christian views on college campuses. You see the attempts to silence Christian views. If you're a Christian conservative evangelical, getting through the process of being confirmed as a Supreme Court justice would be almost impossible if you don't have a Republican Senate. How do we push back against this anti-Christian bias in America? It's bad enough around the world, but in America.
I'd like to understand what the bias is for, and why is there such a protection for the Muslims. Why, if you say anything negative about the Muslim religion, you just get attacked. But as far as Christians are, you can just bash them all you want. I'd love somebody to explain that to me.
Yeah, you can do plays on Broadway that mock Jesus, but you will never see one that mocks Muhammad. You will never see the kinds of artwork that depicts Christians in a negative way and is tolerated and funded with tax dollars being directed at Muhammad or Islam.
Well, we all know the reason for that. They know that there could be repercussions. They know that if they go up against a religion that actually would come after you and attack you, they don't want to take those chances. They know with the Christian faith, that doesn't happen. Why do you think gay couples will go into a Christian bakery, not a Muslim bakery? Is that another head scratcher? I don't think so.
What's your next big project, Kevin?
I've got a couple things coming up. I've got an action movie called The Reliant. I don't know when that's coming out, but sometime next year. I've got a movie called One Nation Under God. It's about a movie about putting that phrase back into our schools and the Pledge of Allegiance. My movie, East Texas, Miracle in East Texas, which I just told you about, which I directed, is coming out probably late next summer. And I've got a wonderful movie opening December 7th for families in a theater near you. It's from Lionsgate. And that one is called,
is that the
that
Christmas?
Was called Bernie the Dolphin.
Bernie the Dolphin. Okay.
Well, and Reliant is the one where you have a family protect itself with a gun, and you've got the ratings. They're trying to give it an R rating when there's nothing vile, violent, sexual. They're just trying to make it more difficult for people to go see it.
Well, that's what they do. Look, my movie, Let There Be Light, is a wonderful family movie. They gave it a PG-13 rating, so I called their ratings board and had a huge argument with them. And I started listing all these movies, like, you know, all the Avenger movies, which are all PG-13. But a lot of people get killed in those movies, right? So I said, why would I get a PG-13 rating? And they said, well, your character's, you know, he's an alcoholic at the beginning of the movie. He's hooked on pharmaceuticals. And that was it. And I said, this Venom movie that came out recently, where about 150 people get killed violently, you gave that the same rating. And they put
that's the news at night.
The way to stop families from going to see a movie is what they're doing.
Kevin Sorbo, great to visit with you. We'll catch up again soon, and God bless you for all you're doing. And
all right, ChristmasDreamsTheMovie.com.
And our prayers to protect your house, your family as well, and those in California. God bless you, man.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be back in a moment. This is the Tennessee Star Report.